We've got a reason to love our God. We're going to look at that tonight as we turn to James chapter 4. Move closer and closer into the heartbeat of this book. I think we're touching on key themes. This aspect. So we've seen last time God's heart, God's ability, God's solution for us is God giving more grace. Wherever we're at, whatever situation we're in, no matter how much grace we've received, God has more grace for us. No matter how big the problem, how low we are, how much help we need, how much transformation, how much sin we've committed in forgiveness, God has more grace. So the reality here is a wonderful truth, and now we need to see who gets that grace. And there is what we would call a means of grace. And sometimes that's used in regards to certain Lord's Supper or things like that as means of grace. I don't really see that as an emphasis in Scripture. And I think I truly believe that this right here is the means of grace. And really, at any point, this is the only avenue by which we will receive it. And it's, see it here in this verse. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto God gives his grace through his word. And yet, God's grace comes to us as we humble ourselves before him. God's grace comes in prayer. But it's God's grace who comes to us in humble. As we humbly seek his face and bow down. There's this element of God's grace comes to us in that moment of obedience. But we submit and we humble ourselves before him and we depend upon him and we receive grace. So at every point, I think God's grace has only touched us at the moment. And I think in terms of God being gracious to us beyond what we're aware of, so I don't have to say an aspect of that, but I think there's an interactive type divine enablement grace that comes only in this meeting. So, I looked up the word humble. I wanted to find out a little bit about it. And I found it as the verb, and I found it as the noun. And it was about 7 to 10 times of each one of those. And I thought, well, that's not too much. Just for you to hear how the Bible uses that word, and you can kind of get a good idea of what it means. So I'm just going to give you some of these. Here's some of these verses. Starting off in Romans 12:16, he says, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. 2 Corinthians says, nevertheless, God comforteth those that are cast down. It's the same word, cast down. Paul says this, I myself beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base. Luke 1:52, he hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. So it was interesting, we just heard four different ways it was translated, and I think all of that just kind of helps us understand that. We've got low estate, cast down, base, low degree. In fact, if you're picking up on this, in James 1:9, he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. So at the key of all of this is tying in very nicely with this word, humble, with the emphasis at the very beginning of the book. And so God wants us to understand that he is sending trials into our lives to advance us on his goal, to make us like Jesus Christ, perfect. Let wisdom, something have her perfect work. Patience. There we go. Thank you. Patience. This aspect of continuing long endurance in the faith of God, trusting Him and believing Him in the face of these circumstances. God's using that to perfect us and make us like Jesus Christ. What we need is wisdom, how to respond. And ultimately, those who are blessed are not the rich, but the men of low degree. So within this, he's using wealth, poverty, and riches to symbolize a way of response towards God. So a rich person needs nothing from God and doesn't respond in terms for that grace. A poor person acknowledges in the trial, and God says they are going to be exalted. They're going to be lifted up. They are the blessed man. So it is that humility that's absolutely essential that God is trying to work into our lives through these type of difficulties. And so what God wants to do, I think in terms of saying it, at every point in our life, we can say across all, it's not for 75% of us, for every Christian, God wants to make us humble so that we can receive more grace. Because that's what we need. And I think there's an aspect, I could say he wants to make us humble, but I think there's an aspect he wants us to realize and where we're at. Several of the other occurrences are found like in this verse, but also 1 Peter uses the same type of thing. God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. And then one other usage of the noun, Jesus Christ's words, he says, take my yoke upon me, learn of me, for I am meek, lowly in heart. So this humility is the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazingly, God is not asking us to do anything that His Son did not partake of. Now let's find out some of the actions here. So those are the way that the noun is used. Let's find out the emphasis on the verb. Same word, just a different form. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, right, the same shall be greatest in the kingdom of God. So it's, on one side you might say, well, that's a condition of who you are, but there's an aspect when you put it into the verb form, you realize it's something that you need to do to yourself. Humble yourself. Matthew 23 says, whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. That's the word. You exalt yourself, God will bring you low and bring you down to the base. Down low. If you are humble, he says, if he that shall humble himself, you get down here, he's going to exalt you. So you have this curve. Everybody's got a bell curve in their life. Your curve is going like this. Or it's like, they're just inverse on top of each other, all right? And you get to choose, which one do I get to be? So you say, I want to live a life that never touches the bottom. You're going to touch the bottom. You are going to be abased. You are going to be, the question is, are you going to make God do it? Are you going to do it? It's an incredible aspect. And it's like, okay, I've got to taste this humility that, frankly, it's not something we enjoy. We don't enjoy the experience of being abased. We'll see what that has in other aspects here. This is actually mentioned several times. Luke 14, Luke 18, same idea, shall be abased. But in the context of Luke 18, I think it's very important because I'll tell you the word right before it. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for if everyone that exalted himself shall be abased. Yep, exactly. The Pharisee and the publican. Yeah, so you see that man went down justified. What? And so you get to see what does it look like for someone to abase themselves. He's over here. Other ones, oh God, I'm enjoying, I'm so thankful to you. I mean, it sounds so good, his prayer sounds so wonderful, except it's just so full of self. no realization of who he is before God. He says, what God really matters is the man who will humble himself. All right, a couple more here. Interesting. These are very fascinating. That's a picture to me. The Apostle Paul said this to the Corinthian church in chapter 11. He says, have I committed offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted because I have preached the gospel of God freely? How did he abase himself? He didn't charge them for preaching the gospel. What does that mean? When he came as the evangelistic preacher, they want to take up a love offering. He said, no. You can give them some love offerings from other people. That's wonderful. But you're not giving it for me. I'm going to go out here and work. And I'm going to earn it because I want this to be this is my special love offering to the Lord. I'm giving up my rights. He talks about that in Corinthians. That was a way that he thought preaching the gospel was nothing honorable to him because he was a necessity. He had to do that. But he said, what sacrifice can I make that would be like the Lord? And he said, aha, those who preach the gospel, they actually receive money. And if I'll give that up, then I can be like Jesus Christ. I'll give up my rights. And he said, he abased himself by being poor amongst them and not receiving their gifts and not receiving the status that he might have had by receiving those gifts. And so they were all offended because they didn't take his money. So kind of gets all messed up in Corinthians, but it's his own interesting book. He says in chapter 12 of the same book, he says, lest when I come, my God will humble me among you, that I shall bewail many which have sinned all day. Imagine Apostle Paul, he says, God will humble me. I think there's an element that he might actually come in, and I get the picture, and I may be wrong on that, but there may be some elements that I don't quite understand on that. But I get the picture of connecting the Apostle Paul with the sinner. Where he gets in, he says, and he just breaks down, he's crying. He's like, oh. He's not saying, I'm going to come and do this. God's going to do this to him. But he says, I'm going to come to you, and you're going to be in your sin, and you're unrepentant. He says, I don't want to have to come and have to bewail the sin that's in your life. I humble myself on the basis of this aspect. So he's wanting them to turn from their fornication and from their living. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. And being found in a fashion as a man, he... It is this action. He said, all right, what's so amazing about that passage is that's the nature of God. He can pull at that and realize that being God did not mean that he was getting everything he could get. He wasn't all about grasping. Didn't hang on to that equality of God in the aspect of he still equal God all the time. That's funny. So the point is, he knew that that equality did not mean it's all about me. He said he emptied himself, he poured himself out. And he said, now that he was a man, his action of God was he poured himself out and became a man. As a man, he humbled himself all the way to being obedient to the death of the cross. Another concept here is Philippians 4:12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to bow. He's talking about suffering need. You know, poverty is humbling. When you have needs and you cannot meet those needs, he says, I know what it's like to have nothing, and that's humbling. And I know how to abound. He says, to be hungry and to suffer need. So those are aspects of what it means to be humble. He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 10. We're coming to the conclusion of the matter is going to call for this action of humbling yourself before God so that he might lift you up. This is the key. What we saw in and now he's telling them, make sure that you do this. He's commanding them. And the same words are used in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. So, summary aspects to this. Circumstances can cause you to be cast down. God will allow the circumstances around you to humble you so that the things you wanted fall through and your desires are all of a sudden crumbling or you're suffering need and you're being abased and you're at this place, God, I need. you're in that situation, you are in the prime place. So we ought to be encouraged by that. And God wants us to acknowledge our lowly condition. And ultimately, that means repentance of our sins, so that we can receive God's blessing. No man enters into salvation apart from recognizing the need that I have, and woe is me. God's grace comes to sinners. You see from Philippians 2 that you must be willing to be obedient to God. There's no true humility before God if it hasn't humbled our will. And we're not coming with a certain sense to say, God, whatever you want from me. Humility also means that you abase yourself among men. The characteristics that are used of Jesus Christ, when he speaks about meek and lowly, he says, I beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So there's an aspect of when I interact with people, I am not harsh or self-assertive. Those are the characteristics of God. Pushing from my way, demanding that I get what I want. There's a meekness, a baseness that when I walk among people, they don't feel like, well, there's someone who's high above us. He says, my men of lows. We have that kind of opinion of ourselves, and we treat other people on the basis of that. And then, ultimately, humility will demonstrate itself by enduring hardship. We'll be able to get a good test of our humility when the judgment comes, we can say, not judgment, when the difficulty and the trials come, we can say, blessed be God. I didn't deserve anything better than this. If I've got pride in my heart, I'm like, God, why are you doing this to me? Humility says, I came empty. I go out empty. God has done nothing wrong to me. I don't deserve it. You know, I think about this aspect of when we go to certain places and they have rides or something like that for our kids. They'll have a benchmark. God's grace is everybody who. It's not that he has some high achievement that you have to reach to. It's that you have to recognize that you are down here. Grace is like water. It always runs dry. You want God's grace in your life. Humble yourself. You know that you do not have to not be a sinner to get God's grace. Do you know that you do not have to not be proud to get God's grace? You can be a proud, ornery, stinking sinner. And in this moment, you can tell me. It's incredible. It's breathtaking. You tell me, I'm already past time, so I was intending to do this, but tell me a story that encourages your heart in the Bible of somebody who humbled themselves and you say, that gives me, that. When you talk about humility, that's a picture of the Bible, someone who received God's forgiveness, God's humility, for being humble. Are there examples that come to your mind? Sorry? Paul? That is the essence of dependence, humility on God. That's good. Excellent. You what? Well, that's encouraging. Praise the Lord. Prodigal son came back. Wow. Yeah, that's good. Someone said, David. Yeah. Oh, man, that's a good one, too. He was way up there. He's a murderer. And he humbled himself before the Lord. Anybody else? Yeah. You know what mine is? Ahab, he was, I mean, he is, I mean, he was, in the end, he still finished bad. But there was a point when he humbled himself before God and went softly before the Lord. I think if God is willing to be merciful and give grace to Ahab, give grace to me. I look back and say all the great points in my life, the great turning points in my life, always came when I hit rock bottom and I saw afresh who I really was. To that moment where I said, you know what, I really am a stiff-necked rebellious. God's talking about me and not somebody else. And yet it's in that realization, that turning and humbling myself to God, that all of a sudden a fresh wave of grace, joy, and peace, and forgiveness flows into our lives. So may God help us. We can have grace, every one of us, and all humble ourselves.